Welcome to the Content Magazine Podcast. I'm today's host, David Valdespino, the developer over at Content. And today we are at Minnow Arts Gallery in Santa Cruz, and we are talking to Trevor Jones, the owner, curator, also a designer, a father, a surfer, all of the above.
All that stuff. Co-owner. Along with Christy Jarvis.
Yes, and yeah. Christy couldn't be here today. She's feeling a little bit ill, so I hope Christy's feeling better soon. So.
Yeah, me too.
But how are you doing, Trevor?
I'm well, thank you.
Right on. Yeah. So Content is down in Santa Cruz. We're kind of making rounds. We're talking to folks from First Friday. We're going to stop by Liminal Space later on today, but cool. Y'all are our kind of first stop on the trip, and we wanted to kind of catch up and see what y'all are doing down here. And so that kind of starts with you as a person. You know, like, we did a little bit of research, we kind of saw your bios on the website, but we didn't see too much more other than that. I mean, there's a lot in that bio, but
I have a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and as a person, and kind of what you're doing?
Yeah. Cool. Primarily, I guess I'm a family guy. I live up in Bonnie Doone outside of Santa Cruz here with my wife and two kids. I have a 3-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl, and that gratefully consumes a lot of my time these days. But I'm also a builder and a designer, so I'm a general contractor. I have a master's degree in architecture from the University of Oregon, but I work doing building design, both commercial and residential projects, and then also work as a general contractor building new construction homes, commercial tenant improvements here in Santa Cruz. We work a little bit outside of Santa Cruz as well. Right now we have some projects up in Oakland and then down in Yucca Valley.
Okay.
Near Joshua Tree in Southern California. And so I've had this creative design build practice since getting out of architecture school in 2009 up in Portland. I lived up there for 15 years, and that was kind of the cauldron of my life as a creative person, in a way.
No doubt.
Kind of coming up in that sort of do-it-yourself art and design and skateboard and music scene of Portland in that era.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here in Santa Cruz for about 10 years. I grew up over the hill in Cupertino. These chairs you're sitting in were a curb find at my parents' house in Cupertino.
Perfect.
I reupholstered them for more, I don't know, classy gallery use.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. So, So along
that's
with
basically it.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So how does that, you know, background in design kind of tie into what you're doing here at Minnow Arts?
Yeah, so Christy and I connected actually sort of through a carpenter I was working with, a local artist here, super radical guy named Jeremy Borgeson.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy connected Christy and I because Christy was looking for office space. And at the time, I had an office in the barrel aging warehouse of Humble Sea Brewing on the west side of Santa Cruz. And I kind of invited Christy to come and take a look. And it wasn't going to work out there for us. Humble Sea was kind of shifting gears, and they actually asked me to leave.
Yeah.
At the same time, I kind of invited Christy in.
And this was like pandemic.
Yeah, this was pandemic era, and Humble Sea was kind of switching from supporting their tap rooms with the warehouse space to building an operation to ship out cans.
Mm-hmm.
And so Christy and I then started looking for office space together. Christy's a landscape architect. And we found this place, which was previously the Literary Guillotine, a bookstore. And in order for us to have our offices in here, we needed another retail use, like in order to not change the use of the space with the city of Santa Cruz. So we opened the gallery at that time. We got the lease, opened our offices sort of next door in the adjoining space. And we decided, you know, we have this connection to the creative community in Santa Cruz, and we'd like to help build that community and become a deeper part of it. And so that was kind of the mission for Christy and I, was to start this gallery in order to do that, in order to support both support local artists in Santa Cruz, but also bring art from other places into Santa Cruz, which we've done.
Yeah.
From San Jose, in the sort of nearest proximity, all the way, you know, to expanding throughout more of the Bay and California, and then internationally too. We have a show coming up in January, which is for Humble Sea Brewing, actually, again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, so the artist who does all the illustration for their art on their cans and bottles and stuff is from Buenos Aires, and he's coming up, and that we're going to do kind of like a little, like a retrospective show of all their can art.
Very cool.
Some original paintings by Juan, and then prints.
Yeah.
Screen prints and stuff of a bunch of the cans, and digital prints too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, the vibe in Santa Cruz is definitely very community oriented, right? Like Humble Sea's come up a few times. I'm sure if we kept talking, sure, certain names would kind of come up.
Yeah, yeah.
In loads. On repeat, right?
Yeah.
So what did that look like? I mean, for lack of a better term, you kind of stumbled into running a gallery, but were you familiar with some of the other galleries in town here, or?
I mean, but maybe Christy was more familiar with some of the other art galleries. I was not. And and we did kind of, you know, like I said before, my creative roots, or my roots as a creative person, feel very tied to sort of like punk rock and surf and skate culture and music that is do-it-yourself oriented.
No
and
doubt.
So I don't feel I don't feel obliged to like have a background in art to start an art gallery, because that's sort of the spirit of where I come from creatively. But
yeah,
that's not by any means to like discount what anyone else is doing. I'm super excited to have learned a lot more about what's going on in the arts in Santa Cruz because of engaging in the way that I have. Christy may have known more, and I think Christy was better connected to the arts community here than I was before we started this.
Yeah, and a little background on Christy. I mean,
yeah,
since she can't be here today, right?
Sure.
So she's a landscape architect.
Yeah.
But she's also a ceramicist. She also does videography and filmmaking.
Totally. And at the time we met, actually, she was just kind of on the tail end of having wrapped up producing Man in the Field with Patrick Treffs, the director of that film, who's in the gallery now. His show is in here now. We just had an opening on Friday. And that is a film about the land artist and chef Jim Denovan.
Yes.
A local here to Santa Cruz, who, and a lot of people are aware of Jim's work. And so she had just kind of wrapped that up, and that was sort of touring, I think, at the time, and just being released. When we started the gallery. And so Christy's connected with the whole, you know, a lot of the Santa Cruz creative community that's connected to Jim as well. And
no doubt.
Patrick. And, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to speak for her.
Yeah, no doubt, but, no doubt. Yeah, just so yeah, some people kind of get a taste of what was going on, right? But
yeah, totally.
So how does kind of curation of this spot work between Christy and yourself?
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
We ask ourselves that question just every couple months.
Whenever there's a new show coming. Yeah.
Yeah, whenever there's a new show coming, it's like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I would say it's almost like, it's partially affinity based, like people that Christy and I, like I said, are just connected to within the creative community, and then there are some people within the community that I should kind of shout out that have been really supportive of the gallery, like Thomas Campbell was one of the first people to show in the space and has been kind of a mentor and a benefactor in a way of the gallery, and helping us to kind of figure some stuff out, because he's been around the art world a long time, around surf and skate worlds too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're developing more of an intentional approach to supporting the BIPOC and LGBTQ plus communities in Santa Cruz and trying to gear our programming more towards supporting that mm-hmm. than would be maybe like natural or endemic to the place, because sometimes Santa Cruz is maybe criticized from the outside for being not very diverse place.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that perception to be, I think that is a perception
totally.
Problem
yeah.
for Santa Cruz. I think Santa Cruz is actually quite a diverse place, and we want to support that and show that that's true.
Brilliant.
Be part of demonstrating that that's true about Santa Cruz.
So, very cool.
Yeah.
And then
I guess that's what's happening. I guess that's it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always hard to say what's happening until somebody asks you, right?
Yeah, and I mean, part of it is also, you know, a little bit improvisational. Like we haven't to date had a super clear mission statement and been like, yeah, well, this is what we're all about, and we don't really want to be. Again, I'm kind of speaking for Christy as well,
yeah.
I guess, but I'm pretty sure she agrees with me that we don't really want to be limited too much by defining exactly what we are,
yeah.
Because we'd like opportunities to be there and for to explore and
yeah.
understand what this space can be. We're also kind of trying to do more events in the space. We've mm-hmm. supported like kind of an experimental music series of events. It's
yeah.
been called Sonic Happenings. It's been called a few different things throughout its life, but we have hired young people in the gallery that are involved in that scene in Santa Cruz, and we've kind of let them take the reins and program that and explore what this space can do for that scene here mm-hmm. in Santa Cruz and how it can support that
yeah.
Kind of work. And we want to have more different kind of events in here that really also, you know, define this space as not just an art gallery, but as a community event space that has art shows a lot.
Totally.
And yeah. music too.
That and seems design. Kind of like a good segue, like a time machine segue kind of back into your development
yeah,
as a
sure.
creative, as somebody that's, you know, interested in all kinds of things, right? Because
yeah.
initially in your undergrad, you studied Ooh. At, was that UCLA
yeah,
for
yeah.
your undergrad?
I studied economics at UCLA.
Yeah, and so just even like
yeah.
flipping through your kind of bio, right? Like
yeah.
somebody that's going from like economics to like traveling the world
yeah.
to getting into software and then kind of coming back. Like there's almost kind of like that limitless,
sure.
like genre free kind of.
Yeah, I can't help it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of my nature, I guess.
Where do you think that kind of comes from for you?
Oh, good question. I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that. I think
yeah.
it's natural to me. Maybe it comes from just listening to myself and what is natural to me, as opposed to trying to fit particular categories or observe the guardrails too much, I guess.
Yeah.
It's maybe a way of saying that. Without trying to sound ostentatious or like I'm trying to be cool or something.
Yeah, no. Well, I think that the flip side of that, like, you know, alternative to the cool portion of it, like, I'm sure there's
yeah.
a lot of, like, oh, shoot moments.
Oh, definitely.
Right? So, like,
yeah.
can you kind of...
That's just like skateboarding or design or surfing or any of it. I think people who are not involved in creative... enterprises don't necessarily know how much failure is involved or how much, getting bounced off the bottom or sort of,
trial and error. Yeah.
The process is that, you know, and if you've engaged in the process a lot, you just get used to that. Mm-hmm. And that's natural too. Everything's generally characterized in reality or real truth by constant change.
Yeah,
I guess, and then, I just accept that.
Yeah, and you kind of settled, well, not settled, right? But like you kind of landed on design,
yeah,
which is kind of rooted in architecture and buildings, mm-hmm. Which is kind of like almost the opposite of trial and error, right? Like when you're kind of building a...
Well, yes and no, I guess. I think there's always an end result, but even buildings mm-hmm. don't last forever.
Yeah.
They're in people's, you know, cognitive, in people's imagination or like in people's map of the world, buildings are there forever.
Yeah.
But when you're engaged in that act of building design and of construction, you know and realize how they deteriorate and how they need to be rebuilt or modified for different uses. I did a bunch of adaptive reuse type projects in Portland mm-hmm. when I worked there because that, you know, there was a lot of building stock that kind of supported that.
Mm-hmm.
The building stock in Santa Cruz, maybe less so, but I think that's a really good point. I think there are end results in design and there's the process and you know, it's just like there's a project I'm working on right now and I was reading about a museum that the Japanese architect Kengo Kuma designed, and he designed a path to the museum and kind of based on thinking about the Japanese tea ceremony and the thought that the path to the building where the tea ceremony takes place is just as important as the building itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an analogy, I guess, with the process, design process generally, which is like, you know, we're in a culture where Instagram or whatever, social media or even magazines
mm-hmm.
like show the end result primarily.
Most definitely.
As the, you know, thing that sells things mostly. But the process for people who are actually creative people, that the process is just as much important as the end result.
Yeah.
I feel that way. And I know a lot of people that are, you know, my sort of cohort or whatever mm-hmm. feel the same way. And that's what we do. And within that community is sort of explore what the whole thing is.
Mm-hmm. You know? And have you kind of taken anything in that same vein from like the artists that you've hosted at the gallery, right? Because yeah. galleries, you know, social media, galleries are kind of the same way, right? Because you come in and you kind of see these finished pieces of art, and unless somebody tells you that somebody spent yeah. 40 hours on this, right?
Oh, like, sure. Yeah, I mean, we participate. Christy and I participate a lot in hanging the shows and mm-hmm. Obviously in curating the shows, but actually physically hanging them, there's been a whole variety of different ways that install happens. Like we don't just have people in here that are in a mature stage of their career as an artist. There yeah. are a lot of like emerging or mid-career artists that we're interested in supporting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those people have come with their work and been like, help, like, how do I hang a show?
Yeah.
You know, and there's that range all the way up to like, you know, Thomas Campbell, who was like insanely skilled at seeing this space. And for one of the first shows that we had in here was like a fire sale of his. And we literally like both packed our vans in Bonnie Doon and drove them down here full of the art that was going to be in the show. And then he just like blasted and covered every square inch of the space. in a, like an incredibly cool way of, you know, occupying the gallery and packing that much work in. Like it takes someone who's had a 30-year, 40-year long art career to figure out how to do that in like a day.
Totally. You know? Most definitely.
So there's a huge range.
Yeah.
In sort of this span of artists at different levels of their career that we want to support through the space too.
Mm-hmm. And has that kind of had any impact on,
it seems like I totally just didn't answer your question.
No.
Or you were asking, what were you asking?
Yeah. Just like the process and like getting, I guess your kind of newfound familiarity with the gallery space.
Yeah.
And like how that has kind of resonated with you.
Yeah.
And like if that's kind of like impacted your own work, but also like your interpretation of artists, right? So
for sure, all those things are true. That's a really good way of asking a question and also telling me what what is happening. Because I move really fast right now with like the demands of family, and then this design build business I have is growing, and the gallery is kind of, you know, is taking up a lot of space too.
Mm-hmm.
And it all kind of like converges in a soup of, you know, of creative energy. And I take energy from all of it and try and give as much as I can to all of it. But I think maybe one of the things I've taken from the experience of kind of, I guess, becoming a gallerist in a way is that that's what what I'm describing about my own life is what a lot of the artists are going through too, and are also experiencing like in that time from the time Christy and I start talking to them about their show and then their actual show, there's this arc and the pressure kind of builds up toward hanging the show and stuff. And that mirrors a little bit the process that I experienced doing design and construction work, both the design process and the process of making spaces and buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed the affinity with artists from my own experience as a designer and a builder,
mm-hmm.
of what the arc of that process is like. And I do sort of feel like as a gallerist, I can be like almost like a companion to the artist in that process, a good companion,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to someone who's maybe running a gallery to just like try and sell art that's expensive.
Totally.
So in a way, I guess that's also sort of maybe consistent with my roots or my own sort of creative identity. Is like I want to support people doing creative work, and I want to be part of. I like being part of their process too, of executing and realizing the vision of hanging their show and showing their work. And I'm very also kind of like out in public in a way as a designer and a builder, because mm-hmm. I do some projects that are sort of, you know, I've built some things that are sort of in the world here in Santa Cruz, like cafes and. I'm finishing a little wine room on the west side of Santa Cruz for a winery, and so I'm sort of feel like in the flow of things and in the mix with other people trying to realize their dreams as like business owners or homeowners or artists.
Most definitely
feel a little bit like that, like. I'm sort of along for the ride with people who just need help accomplishing things from other creative people that can support them.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, you know, the common question that we give to gallerists through, you know, their visits to studios and visiting with artists, or like even critiques or like whatever, is like, what advice would you give to artists that want to be in a gallery? Obviously, your gallery is a little bit different than than others out there, but I think that your opinion is just as important, right?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my advice mainly, however qualified I am to give it, is to not be intimidated by galleries. Maybe a lot of artists are. Maybe they're not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I haven't ever shown my creative work in an art gallery. And so I don't know what that is like to actually be on that side.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to create a super, you know, inclusive and supportive environment and try to play a role that's, you know, alongside an artist as opposed to, you know, in a way, like what I've been describing about my own creative life is that, you know, I kind of feel like as a designer and an artist and a creative person in my own right, I'm interested in like demystifying things and demystifying the process of having an art show in a gallery is maybe something on the level of advice for artists, which is like, these processes, like, you know, whatever, all the way back to studying economics is about sort of demystifying, like, how do people make decisions? How does the world work?
Yeah.
In certain ways. I would give that advice to artists, which is that you can, by participating in things, you demystify them.
Yeah.
And you can't totally demystify things for yourself by just going on the internet and looking at stuff. You have to actually do stuff.
Yeah, and like comparing yourself in that way, right? Yeah. To people's finished product. And like, once you kind of find yourself in that space, it...
Almost just comparing yourself to other people altogether or anything that's on the internet is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Or comparing yourself to that... Or having expectations about what having an art show at a gallery is, to start with, is probably a bad starting point.
Yeah.
The better starting point is, how can I demystify things and become the person I'm interested in? If you're interested in being a person that shows art in an art gallery, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of place that you found yourself in opening the gallery.
Totally.
Because like, if you really got in your head about like what a gallery is supposed to be,
no, it wouldn't work out this way. For sure it would work out completely differently. So it's all about attitude and intention, I guess.
Well, and what was that process like when you were like, you and Christy both decided like, okay, we're gonna open an art gallery? Like, what is the first?
The first show that was in here was actually like, and so maybe this is also, there's like, I'm learning all these things from being here and talking to you.
Great.
I think the first show that we had came out of something that is still true about the gallery, which is just like, let's explore what personal connections we have and who could do something right now in the gallery. And the first show that came up ended up being, I was working with a design client with the owner of Metavinyl, like the independent record store here in Santa Cruz, on a design for a house for him up in Washington State, because he's going to move. He's going to sell the record store and move.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, and I have all these psychedelic rock posters. Like, I have this collection of psychedelic rock posters. And I was like, well, do you want to show them? And like, I think we're going to open an art gallery. Do you want to show them in there? And he was like, yeah, let's do that. And it was kind of like, well, I was trying to also help him sell some stuff as he was moving and selling the record store. But also, I thought they were really cool. Like, I looked at the collection and I thought this was really cool and other people in Santa Cruz would be into this. And so that's what we did. That's what the first show was. was Paul's collection of psych rock poster art from the 60s. And then I went on to actually, you know, so I designed this house for Paul, and then he sold the record store to some friends of mine, and I remodeled the record store for them too. So it's kind of all part of it. And then Christie's relationship to Jim and Patrick, you know, led to programming in the gallery that was, it took a long time to put a show together with Jim, and an outstanding in the field event in which we closed a block of Cedar Street across from the gallery here and had one of their meals, and a show that was kind of a retrospective of Jim's work as a land artist here in the gallery, and a bunch of his personal artwork, and then photographs of the land art, and a video running of some outstanding in the field events, and that was kind of a interactive multimedia event.
Yeah,
that came out of Christie's, you know, personal relationship. So it's kind of a very personal place. And it has developed in a pretty personal way for us in some ways, and then we're trying to grow beyond that to include more people in the community that are not necessarily like just our friends, you know.
Most definitely.
Or our colleagues.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of times art kind of has that perspective of like a divine inspiration, or like an all-seeing kind of like purpose and everything else.
Sure.
But a lot of the stuff that you're talking about is very community based.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, inspiration based via the people that you're with and around.
I think that's like extra richness. That's like hitting the bonus. Like both the inspirational and the more rootsy on the ground community oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
that's
how
the
would
sweet spot.
So how would you, you know, we're, you know, based in San Jose, we covered the South Bay. We covered part of Santa Cruz, right? So for folks that like haven't come out for First Friday Santa Cruz or something like that, like how would you describe the kind of art scene or like what they could expect down here?
Oh, it's great here. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of development happening in downtown Santa Cruz right now. And it's a super exciting scene, I think, on the first Fridays, especially. But yeah, we definitely have like, a kind of core following or group of people that I recognize that are here a lot on the first Fridays. And that ranges from people who are like pretty connected with the surf and skate world and kind of know that we're doing stuff that's related to that a lot, but also, also people who are just kind of regulars on the art scene as artists that hit a lot of the galleries to just explore what other, you know, what their peers are doing in Santa Cruz. And then there are also people who are sort of dedicated first Friday, just patrons almost, who are coming around.
Going down the map,
And then there's people just kind of partying.
Yeah.
Also, that's happening. I mean, it's this university town and it's Friday night. And
that's very true.
So there's that population that's out on a Friday night too. And we're right next to the Red Room, which is kind of a Santa Cruz institution as a bar. And so there's some overflow from that, I think, that happens. I think there's overflow from that happens in front of our gallery after 2 a.m. a lot also.
Yes.
But I'm not here for that because I have a family now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, there's a whole wide, you know, wide spectrum on the first Fridays that everybody from San Jose should come and check out.
You have a show in here currently. You guys are going to turn over the gallery soon, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So what do you have coming up? Do you have like the next show? Do you have, how far out are you planned?
We're planned for all of 2024.
Okay.
All of 24 is programmed. And the first show, so we have this show from Patrick Treffs until the holidays, basically. And then the first show in 24 is is kind of the, I'm not sure how to pronounce Juan's name, Juan Lawrence, I think. He's from Buenos Aires. He works with Frank Scott Kruger, who's one of the founders of Humble Sea Brewing, and they create the can art and the bottles are for Humble Sea's, you know, pretty much all of their marketing materials and stuff like that. And the two of them are curating a show together of Juan's art for Humble Sea. It's going to be original paintings and then prints, like I said before. And that's going to be super cool. And that'll open on the first Friday in January.
Okay.
And they'll be selling a bunch of prints, like silk screens and digital prints of the artwork. And then there's original paintings, like I said, that are hanging on the wall. We used a printer in Alameda called Moniker.
Mm-hmm.
That's coincidentally right around the corner from Humble Sea's tap room up there.
Okay.
But I connected with them through Killer Acid, who's an artist, Rob Cordetti, here in Santa Cruz, and he does all his printing there, and he recommended that press to us. So that was cool. That was like another little, there's all sorts of those, you know, connections within the community where artists, I think, are helping other artists.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, I was just locking
up. Oh, okay. I was like, what are we?
I started reflecting
your face.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So, you know, I'm a big Nardwar fan. I know you're a music fan.
So
he kind of always asks at the end, like, why should folks care about you, right? But like, why should folks care about Minnow Arts?
Well, first off, thank you. Like, I am really grateful that you guys do care, that you guys care, at least. That's super humbling and generous of you guys, and I'm really, really, I'm happy that you guys are interested in us. Folks should care because of the, because of the attitude that we're bringing to this of inclusiveness and support for our local art scene in Santa Cruz and for artists who want to have an opportunity to show in this like kind of amazing space here in Santa Cruz that is just such a rich place culturally and has its own kind of special place in California, I guess, in general and within the Bay Area and the Central Coast. I don't know. You should care. You should care about Minnow Arts because we're doing stuff to support creative people here in Santa Cruz.
Awesome.
Yes.
So the name Minnow Arts.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the background and the history and how that came to be?
Yeah, like a lot of the other answers, it's kind of like, well, I'm not even sure. But it was among a list of like, I don't know, a dozen names or something. And Christy and I just like went through a process of like, okay, come up with some names and we need to name this thing. And I don't know, Minnow is a fish that swims in schools, and just the behavior, like the physical behavior of the schools of fish and the way that they travel and the way that they are almost like stronger as a group or as a unit, and that their instinct is to like stick together and travel together and kind of they all sort of rely on each other in a way. I mean, maybe this is biologically not true what I'm saying, but it's what it looks like.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how it's happening or why, and that's kind of cool too. Like, how do they do that? Like, like the way birds sort of, the way they fly together in a flock and have this kind of rhythm and this relationship to each other that's instinctual. That's kind of what creative people do, you know? to help support each other and to sort of travel on similar paths together. And that's kind of where it comes from, I guess.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast. Follow us on social media at Content Mag. Become a member and help us to continue to tell the stories of the South Bay creatives. This episode's music is 408 by Jack Pavlina. Follow him on Spotify and also on his Instagram at Jack Pavlina Music.